Chapter 18. 1020 hours, November 3, 2552, military calendar. Zeta Dorada system, orbital entry vector over planet Onyx, aboard decommissioned UNSC Chiroptera class vessel, illegal registry, Beatrice. Kelly unbuckled her harness and checked Dr. Halsey. She was breathing, but without a pressure suit. The acceleration had been too much for her. Unfamiliar frustration coursed through Kelly. She resented not being briefed about this new mission, being thrust into the middle of a conflict she knew nothing about, and worst of all, having no way to fight. But maybe it had happened too fast for John and the others to revive her. Everything had happened too fast since the fall of Reach. Still, something didn't add up. Kelly understood, though, that she wasn't getting any answers from Dr. Halsey in the near future, assuming either of them had a future. First things first, locate your enemy. Update on pursuit craft, Kelly asked the AI. The tiny holographic spark answered. From our emergent position on the far side on the satellite, I now only detect 147 vessels. 2 minutes until they're again within weapons range.
Only 147, Kelly muttered. Lucky break for us.
A blue-green planet appeared centered on the viewscreen. What was Dr. Halsey's last course correction?
Planetary insertion, the AI said.
The Beatrice shuddered. A crackling hiss was emitted from the engine room, then another from the port wing strut. The temperature dropped 20 degrees.
12% per minute loss of cabin pressure, the AI reported.
We can't insert at this velocity, Kelly said. The only things that re-enter this fast and touch down are meteors.
Only partially correct, Spartan 087, the AI said.
Dr. Halsey's last burn instructions solve that part of the problem, at least in theory.
Explain.
The ship rotated 180 degrees and its nose angled up.
Dr. Halsey's calculation is for a counterthrust. I am about to initiate an overcharge burn from the coils.
But this is only a theoretical operation, as it exceeds the engineered coil output by 240%.
On-screen wisps of heat curled. Long trails of smoke appeared.
Entering upper atmosphere and...
The AI paused.
Stand by. Incoming weak transmission on the E-band.
The E-band was the UNSC emergency broadcast channel.
On audio, quick, Kelly said. There was a wash of static, and then,
is automated general distress code Bloody Arrow. All UNSC personnel heed and stand to. We are under attack and re-
It faded to white noise. Kelly would have known the voice anywhere. It was the man who made her and every Spartan what they were, Chief Petty Officer Mendez. The Bloody Arrow code was used only when all friendly positions had been overrun by enemy forces. A total rout. The most likely interpretation was a Covenant invasion.
Warning! Pursuing vessels in weapons range in 7 seconds, the AI informed her.
Sparks appeared in the blue-black of space.
Energy spikes detected from multiple point sources.
Confirm no weapons on this craft, Kelly said.
Confirmed, the AI replied.
Why would Dr. Halsey take an unarmed ship on a dangerous mission?
Initiate evasive roll, Kelly ordered the AI.
Inadvisable. With precarious thruster adjustments, I'm able to maintain a stable descent.
A roll would result in an unrecoverable tumble.
Convection blooms of heat appeared on the aft camera, making the growing pursuit craft waver. Another shudder ran through the hull, continued, and increased in intensity.
Energy discharge from pursuit craft, the AI said.
On-screen sparks of gold flared. Scintillating beams stretched between the alien craft and the Beatrice. Sitting ducks and fish in a barrel were the phrases that Fred liked to use. She could jump. Kelly and the other Spartans of Red Team had survived a high-altitude jump out of a pelican, but not like this. The Beatrice was in mid-orbit. At high velocity, her Mjolnir armor might survive the turbulence and heat, but inside, she'd be pulped and roasted. Kelly glanced at Dr. Halsey. There'd be no jumping for the doctor. She'd have to take her chances and stay.
She climbed back into the first mate's chair, buckled the harness, and gripped the arms. A crisscross of energy beams blurred in front of the cameras. The heated turbulence was a haze of chaos, smoke, and boiling air, optically dispersive.
Delay that braking maneuver.
Inadvisable. If we do not slow, the Beatrice will burn up.
That's what I'm counting on, Kelly said. Wait 3 seconds.
The AI considered, his light winking rapidly.
Understood. Recalculating delayed energy output.
The alien energy weapons distorted, refracted by the increasingly chaotic turbulence until they blurred into dozens of fainter beams, and then disintegrated in the fireball left in the Beatrice's wake.
Beam cohesion near zero, the AI announced.
The temperature within the ship jumped to 40 degrees centigrade, and Kelly heard pinging throughout the frame.
Initiating counter-thrust now, the AI said.
Kelly braced. An explosion sounded in the aft compartment. Kelly was thrown backward, and the first mate's chair, never designed to hold a half-ton of Spartan and Mjolnir armor, snapped off its base. She tumbled, crashed into the bulkhead between the bridge and the engine room, punching a dent into the bulkhead. The engine screamed with ultrasonics, and it shook the ship so violently, Kelly's vision blurred. Crackles radiated from the spine of the hull. Microfracture fatigue, and the popping and tearing came from the port wing. The engine ceased, and the crushing deceleration eased. Kelly peeled herself off the wall, saw that Dr. Halsey was still safely strapped in her seat. Blood trickled from the elderly woman's nose, and it bubbled, which was good. It meant the doctor still breathed.
We are presently 7 kilometers over the planet's surface, the AI said. Stable trajectory for a controlled landing. Main engines inoperable. Auxiliary engine operable, but incapable of escape velocity.
Understood, Kelly said. They were stuck, wherever they were.
Pursuit vessel status. None within visual or radar range.
Kelly didn't think they'd seen the last of them. She went to the doctor and checked her pulse. It was strong and steady. She was tougher than she looked. Kelly spotted 2 duffel bags secured under the captain's chair. One was filled with a variety of medical supplies, and the other held 4 MA-5Bs and 16 clips. She smiled. There were weapons here after all. She grabbed one of the MA-5Bs, slid the clip home, and hefted its reassuring weight. The Beatrice gently banked, and the hull complained. The viewscreen showed rolling hills, jungle, and sinuous rivers. To the north were white rock canyons and mesas, as well as columns of smoke and wavering outlines of dust. Kelly relaxed, not into complacency, but rather because the situation was familiar. In space, she could do nothing but sit and watch. An impossible situation for any Spartan. Now, however, she could analyze the tactical, plan, act, fight, and possibly win.
Pipe through that distress signal, she told the AI.
Apologies, it said. All antennae have been vaporized. I can, however, give you the approximate location of the last transmission.
That'll do. Get us there. The ship banked to starboard.
Ahead 17 kilometers is the source of the signal, the AI said.
The corner of the viewscreen magnified. Kelly saw buildings and fields laid out in a horseshoe shape. She instantly recognized the 3-meter-wide regulation crushed white quartz paths. The perfect geometry of the inspection yard, and the long parade grounds. There were obstacle courses to the west, and there was a rifle range. This was a UNSC military camp. There might be weapons and ammunition there.
Descend to 5,000 meters and circle that camp, she ordered.
Aye, aye,
the AI replied. The Beatrice dropped, and a shutter started from the port wing and continued to thrum. Kelly would make the most of their aerial reconnaissance. She had a feeling once this bird set down, it would never fly again. On screen, Kelly saw other objects in the airspace, glints of dull gold.
Radar contacts, Jared said. Identical configuration to orbital pursuit craft.
A silhouette appeared and magnified on the display. 3 booms floating about a central sphere. Dozens of those things circled the camp. They either hadn't noticed them yet or didn't care. Move us off 5 kilometers to the west.
Answering new course, aye.
There was a small clearing in the jungle. Scan local airspace, Kelly said, and if it's clear, put us down here. She didn't want to give up the mobility this vessel afforded her, but she wasn't going to stay up here and be a target either. If she could camouflage the ship, then she might be able to keep her flight options open.
No radar contact, the AI informed her. Glide path calculated.
Rumbling came from the undercarriage.
Horizontal altitude thrusters, partially functional. Make ready to land.
She went aft to see if there was anything else she could salvage. From the mess, she took plasticized blocks of F rations and 3 jugs of water. She glanced into the engine compartment. Her armor's radiation counter clicked wildly. The plasma coils were half-melted. She returned to the bridge.
Ma'am?
The AI said, uncertainty creeping into its voice.
Will you be taking me as well?
Dr. Halsey would probably need the AI, and it was effective in combat.
You're covered.
Thank you, ma'am.
Touchdown in 3 seconds.
Kelly watched the screens. There were no flyers. She was going to assume, though, that they'd already spotted her. There was a bump, and the engines whined down. Kelly yanked the laptop and tossed it into a duffel. She unharnessed the doctor and gently threw her over her shoulder. She palmed the release hatch. The door eased down, becoming a gangplank. The terrain outside was more swamp than meadow. Insects buzzed, but nothing else moved. She ran for the trees, covering the distance in 10 long strides. In the dark of the jungle, she set Dr. Halsey against the tree and rechecked her vitals. Still strong and steady. Kelly scanned the sky. No company. She considered moving back to the ship and camouflaging it, but that might not be necessary. The matte black stealth craft blended almost perfectly with the shady tree line. Kelly tried her comm, clicking on the E-band.
Expect an immediate threat response. This is automated General Distress Code Bloody Arrow. All UNSC personnel heed and stand to. We are under attack and require assistance. Camp Kurhi and the Northern Peninsula have been invaded by unknown, possible Covenant hostiles. Suggest orbital bombardment of the northern region, as these entities are equipped with high-heat output beam weapons. Our forces will remain undercover. Land in force and expect an immediate threat response.
Across the swamp came a whisper rustle. Kelly took cover, leveled her MA-5B, and held her breath. 2 figures emerged from the jungle. Humanoid. Covenant. They were shrouded in active camouflage. Their textures adjusted, and they looked like they were part leaf, part shadow. She'd seen orbital drop shock troopers experiment with this technology, but they'd never gotten it to work in the field. The 2 figures halted. It was difficult to tell, but it looked almost as if one made a hand signal, thumb pressing into palm, and other fingers inwardly curled. That was the Spartan signal for unknown ahead. Wait. She'd take a chance. If they were human, and wearing the latest UNSC armor, they should be non-hostiles. She eased one hand out from cover. She flashed her index finger once, and then again, and then the come-forward gesture. There was more rustling around her, flanking units. Of course, no one was going to close across open terrain, even friendlies. Still, Kelly's combat training clicked on. She had to reposition, but that would mean leaving Dr. Halsey vulnerable. One of the unknown was near. She couldn't hear it, just a tickling in the back of her mind. A sixth sense that told her she was being watched. And whatever was doing the watching was now too close for comfort. There was motion in Kelly's peripheral vision, a blur. She spun and saw a ghostly figure moving toward her, faster than any human could move. Kelly sidestepped, grabbed the arm, twisted. Her opponent reverse-twisted and countered the lock. Whatever it wasn't human. Otherwise, Kelly would have ripped its human arm from the socket. Her opponent twisted her wrist and escaped from Kelly's grip. Kelly was still faster. Her other hand lashed out, palm flat, and impacted the solar plexus. The other figure flew back 2 meters, hit a tree, and slumped.
Stand down, Spartan!
Kelly whirled. She recognized the voice. Not Mendes's, but another voice from the past. One that couldn't be.
That person was dead. Before her stood a figure wavering as if a mirage. Then the active camouflage faded, and a person in what looked like cut-down Mjolnir armor was there. One hand holding an MA5K rifle pointed at the ground, the other held up.
"No time to explain, Kelly," this man said over the comm. "Move! Hostiles in!"
An explosion tore through the jungle.